Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentist Implants and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. We are live, Voices of Dentistry 2023. I got my trusty cohort next to me, all the way from the blizzardy South Dakota snowy
shithole.
Your words, not mine. All right. I used to live there. So, before we get started, we got to thank our sponsor.
He didn't follow with a name. After
that. Come on. From episode number one, Boyd's Wine and Spirits been with us. Mount Rushmore Road, Growler Station, wine selection. You should fly to Rapid City and buy your booze. It is that good. Vinny will take care of you. So, all right. No strangers to the podcast. The last podcast we talked about
meat raffles.
Meat raffles. Yes. Yes. Yeah. RC. I almost went there. Sorry. Laura and Michael from Wondrous. Welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
The meat raffles were held behind the curtains on the stage.
That's exactly correct.
Oh boy. It's not going well. All right. All right.
You have another guest on the show.
I know, it's kind of rude. I'm just a sidekick.
I'd toss that out.
Thanks, Randy, for looking out for me.
I know I'm throwing you under the bus, but I'm saving you from trouble later.
It's not saving me from trouble. Like anyway. Now you won't even believe that I was headed that way. So anyway, I also have my very lovely fiance on, Dr. Christine Odland. Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, thank you. Did he ever introduce you?
No.
Is it implied that you're here?
I did. Trusty cohort. I already introduced him.
Respond to trusty cohort.
Oh, did I not actually use your name? I don't know.
Papa Randy.
Papa Randy in the house.
Yeah, Papa Randy.
There you go. Carry on.
So, well, he's back on TV. Have you seen that?
I heard he's going to be on next week's episode.
Yeah.
She's killing it.
It'll probably be about 20 seconds.
That's it?
Well, yeah. He says something witty, and then they move on.
Yeah.
They don't ask you. Are they asking you, your design, for
no.
your?
No. I believe I helped Cole put together a bookshelf or something.
Have you shown them your crown skills and how design beautiful?
They did not fall for that.
No. Oh, dang it.
I got this Saret thing, and I can make a crown. No. We need
got excellent shows. Hand skills, definitely.
Yeah. Let's see here. You weren't here last year.
Yes, I
or
was.
Or you were.
I was pregnant.
Oh, that's
no,
right.
I wasn't pregnant. I was pregnant the year before that.
Oh, so right. You were pregnant last year.
It's every other year.
It's every other year.
All right. So we got it down here.
We didn't even talk about last year. I got so lit up about being here that I ran up a massive bar tab that is haunting me to this day that involved a very hot chick in tiny bikini pants riding out from a nightclub in a tiny car with four men holding her up in the middle of the bar with sparklers.
Oh, you went to Dakota.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember.
You went to the.
I don't think you remember this, but you were there.
Yes, I did a lot of damage to your bar tab.
Yeah.
Was that the Thursday night?
Yes.
It was. Yeah.
I died that night.
Yeah.
So this is the first Voices that Randy's actually been functional on Friday.
Correct.
He usually comes to town, just gets wastoided, and then is gone. So we
Moody put babysitters on.
Yeah,
him last
night. I put my best team on it over there, and they got him. They got him through the day. So
I'm counting about five people over there. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
All right.
That's his handlers.
Quite the team.
It takes a village.
To be fair, it's now 4:30. At just about 4:30, and the boozes started flowing.
In fact,
everybody just took Prilosec and Tums before taking a shot.
Six bottles in.
And I think Randy actually dropped his Tums into the shot before he took it, which, we thought might have a Coca-Cola / Mentos reaction, but
it did
not.
Not.
It's not.
It's going to do its magic.
Yeah, actually, very anticlimactic.
It's preventative.
So, yeah. So what's new in the Wondrous world?
Man, you know, I think we've really spent a lot of our time focusing on process, which is interesting because we started VOD with Dr. Mark Costas talking a lot about, you know, how you can create scalability for your practice. And really towards the end of last year and this year, you know, we're a marketing agency, so you might think, gosh, well, let's talk about marketing today. And so frequently the things that I think predict success for any business, whether it's dental, marketing, we've talked about, you know, Burger King's today and McDonald's, everybody shares that same problem that if you don't have defined processes, it is really hard to get a team to move in the same direction. And so that's really been one of the main things we've been heads down on. And it's had a huge impact over the last 6 months in our ability to predict what resources we need to meet our clients' needs, to keep our team happy, and to really scale and grow the way that we want to. So that's been kind of the main focus for us. It's been really exciting. Yeah. What do you got, Laura?
Same thing, I guess.
same goes for you twice.
Yeah, well, I want to know about your email tag because you have moved. You are concentrating more on the virtual concert.
Yeah, I was in the latter half of the year, and that's going well. I am so impressed with our docs who are really engaging with that product and using it. They just see incredible results. I mean, they are putting together consults that are beautiful, that are converting. So when just to kind of take a step, do you want to give them the gist on YVC? You're much more succinct than I am.
Yeah, so the general idea for anyone that hasn't heard this before, you know, a lot of times we'll say virtual consult and people say, yeah, I remember I did that during the pandemic for a week and I've moved on. And you know, really the idea that we have is that there's so many patients out there that know they need treatment. Could be an implant, could be all on four, could be denture, could be veneer. But there's all these objections. You know, today, this week's not the right week. I'm afraid of cost. I'm afraid of the dentist. And it's a lot more approachable to start the conversation virtually. So our platform lets a patient take a photo, send that photo to the dentist, and then we've got a guided process where the dentist can respond with a really powerful sort of surprise and delight video and you know, examples of casework, suggestions on how to move forward. And the best part of this is you can either do that personally, so you can say, hey, there's this great case, I'm interested in, you know, really talking to this person individually, or you can record a templated response one time that speaks generally about the process. And so the whole point of this is to scale our dentists, give this personal experience where they really get to reach out across the computer screen and speak to patients and increase case acceptance as patients come in. So it's been great for the docs that are using it.
Yeah, and I think two of the cool things that we're working on right now that have been very impactful is we now have the autoresponders in place. So basically you can decide within a 24-hour window or a 48-hour window, hey, I want to intercept this consult myself because I think it takes a really custom response. Or, hey, you know what, I just don't have time to respond to this one myself and it's pretty cut and dry. I'm just going to send a generic response. So instead of saying, hey, Justin Moody, this is Dr. Laura Maley, it just might say, hey, this is Dr. Laura Maley, and not use your name. And then in addition to that, we just rolled out custom forms. So prior to the last month or so, we had a form program that would basically work you through a workflow depending on if you wanted cosmetic or general or something else. And then now what we have is we have the ability for doctors to build their own custom workflows so that if you have questions that you want to ask or information that you need or a specific photo that you're looking for based on a service you're offering, then you can very quickly gather that information and decide if somebody's going to be a qualified candidate for you before you respond. And it's going to help you guys organize your workflow, know what's coming in the door long before it does, and have those boxes checked for the doctor, yep, knowing that they have an idea of what's going to walk in that door. So that's pretty great.
Are most of your doctors answering these questions during their work hours or after work hours? And like, what do you think what's this time commitment? Because I know for me, like, if someone is I'm pretty busy when I'm in the office. Mm-hmm. Like, do I have more time after hours to work on this?
Yeah.
Have you found that balance? Or
I think, you know, it kind of depends doctor to doctor. What I will say is they're all checking it probably at least once or twice a week at a minimum. And then I would say the doctors who are using it very effectively are checking it daily at least. But really the responses only take 2 to 5 minutes if you're going to do a custom response. If you want to turn the autoresponders on, then you just record it once and it's canned and ready to go and it automatically goes out for you and you don't ever have to respond.
So that's the key thing is our best dentists, the ones that really, really get into it, the case values are the biggest, they may respond to every single one that comes in. And again, like Laura said, that might take between 2 and 5 minutes. But I think our average dentist is just setting it up one time, and then they can kind of go back to their day-to-day. But the experience the patient's having is they say, okay, I called one front desk, and they didn't pick up. I called another, and they said, I can't give out pricing over the phone. And then I got here, and I sent in a photo, and the dentist responded. And you think about, for a lot of these cases, hey, I'm interested in implants. Well, you're not going to be able to really treat them over coming up with a treatment plan. You're going to just generally say, hey, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for sending the photos. I think we can help you, but I need you to come in. I need to do these things. And you offer them a free consultation. That's what you would do anyway. And so you can really record that and have it go out and do the work for you. So in a world in which I think we're continuing to try to automate parts of our businesses, all of us, this is a great way to automate a personal connection with patients to get them into the office.
So it's kind of like a dental cameo.
Yeah.
That is literally exactly what it is. That's amazing. Yes,
we're going to steal that.
He's actually amazing how much he actually knows.
I can hide it well.
Andy can put together a bookshelf. So one of the things that we actually have is a doctor who's one of the super users has a wife who works in the practice occasionally, but it's her gig to respond to all of them. And she does an amazing job. She's like, hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so's wife. I want you to know I work in the practice. I looked at your case today. And she's seen enough to know that somebody's either going to qualify to be a great patient or not based on the cosmetic stuff that they're looking for and at with their practice. And so he said, hey, listen, you know enough to know. You've done treatment plan coordination in our office. And so she's the one actually responding to the videos, and she does an excellent job too. So if it's like, hey, listen, the doctor doesn't want to do it, it can be your treatment coordinator if you want it to be. We just have to make sure that they're existing within the parameters that are expected for the practice.
That's actually our tagline, your virtual consult, get your wife to do it. That's, that's how easy it is.
It's very sexist.
Yeah.
It's the tagline at Wondrous,
get your partner to do it. Get your partner to do it.
He, him.
Can you guys edit this, right?
You're from California.
We're married to the audience that doesn't know that.
So I'm curious, because you guys are, you know, probably not thinking about marketing every day. Have you guys gotten on the chat GPT wagon, this whole AI copywriting chat thing? Is this something that you guys have been talking about at all?
Absolutely. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about, but no.
So one of the big things that we're interested in this new year, you know, you continue to watch AI as it's progressed. And, you know, I think everybody kind of had this moment where they had AI design these cool profiles for them, if you saw that on Instagram. And, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a lot of progression in AI's ability to write content. And so there's a few different tools out there. There's Jasper, there's ChatGPT, which is the one that blew up recently. And so there's been a lot of interesting tests that our team's doing to see how can AI create content.
You gotta have a
picture. Oh, there we go. We're doing our photo here. I don't have a... All right, smile break.
Okay, but AI.
But I think, you know, for the dental community at large, whether you're a general practice dentist, whether you have... whether you're supporting dentists, it's one of those tools that's really fascinating to look at right now because it's changing how content will be created in the future.
So, for example, I'm guessing you know nothing about it.
No, not really.
So you can go to this AI and say, write me a 1,000-word essay on why you should brush your teeth.
Yes.
And it comes out and do it in the style of something.
Yeah.
And it will write it, and it will...
Make
do it
college
in the style of whatever.
Yeah.
It will sound just like so-and-so. Do it in the style of, I don't know, who.
Yeah, you can
Randy Huska.
Yeah, Randy Huska. There you go. Make it educational.
A lot of swearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and it will write it a 1,000-word essay in the style of whoever, and it sounds like whoever wrote it.
So the interesting thing about it is when it comes to the essays, that's where I think it's not there yet, right? If you were to just read it, if you were to skim it, you'd say it's good. But like we did a test on fixed, it was talking about fixed aligners. And at one part it says, and then after dinner you can take it out. And you're like, well, wait a second, it's a fixed aligner.
Yeah.
So it's not smart enough to catch that. But if you read the sentences, you're like, you know, this is holding together well. What we're really interested in,
what's
and I
a
think...
fixed aligner?
Yeah.
That kind of throws me too.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the wrong example. So maybe that was on us. But the interesting thing about it was how we can use it for research. So you can say, give me 10 topics about why some, or ten reasons why someone should get a dental implant. And it can give you those 10 topics, and you can then write content off of that. Or you can say, give us 10 good facts about dental implants, and you can take that and use it in social media. So I think using it as a research tool is a fascinating concept right now. Will it be able to write an essay for you that you can post? Probably not yet. But
how do you access it? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Is it a what? Is it something you pay for, or is it something like a Google? You just go in there and punch shit in.
So, a Google.
Yes. If you just go to ChatGPT, you can literally try ChatGPT. So we can actually do something right now for fun. I'm gonna have to log in. So I lied to you guys. It might take a second, but. But yeah, it basically once you sign up, you can ask it to do whatever you want. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty fascinating where AI is coming in the dental world. Like, we're using it for design services and printing and CAD CAM and
get your night guards planned, and you know, by the time you send it, it's back.
Yeah.
Less than 5 minutes.
Soon to be crowns too. It's cool. And now we can write you a story.
That's right.
What college would have been so much easier? Write me my essay.
Google would have been easier if we had it in college.
Oh, God, yeah.
Computers would have been good when I went to college.
True that.
Okay, what are we going to ask it?
All right, we're in. So what do you guys want to do here?
Why are implants better than bridges?
Why are implants better than...
Dental bridges. You might want to throw dental.
There we go, good.
Do you need to say dental implants?
Yeah, that's good.
Just for the sake of
clarity. We might have gotten an interesting response there. All right.
Because guys will like you better.
It's responding here. I'm just going to read it as it types, and we'll see how it does. So it says, dental implants are a popular alternative to traditional dental bridges because they offer several advantages. One of the main advantages is they replace the entire tooth, including the root, which helps. Oh, it just jumped there. Which helps to preserve the integrity of the jawbone. Unlike bridges, which rely on the support of adjacent teeth, dental implants are self-supporting and do not put extra stress on the teeth. So it has more. I'm not going to read it all. That's pretty darn good.
That is
That's
really
not bad
good.
At all.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool. I'm impressed. And that
you
was
pay
fast.
It's an app.
It's an app, yeah. But you can also say, write a children's story about, someone give me a topic.
Augie.
That's going to be a dog.
Puppies.
A dog.
A silver named lab. Augie.
Named Augie.
There you go.
All right, let's see what happens.
Nothing's going to be real anymore.
I know. It really is mind-bending to see, you know, we could literally write a children's story and publish it on Amazon through this. So it says, once upon a time in a small village, there lived a cute little dog named Augie. Augie was brown and white and mixed bred with big floppy ears and a waggy tail. He was loved by everyone in the village, especially the children.
And then he got run over by a horse.
He got run over by a horse, the end. No, but you can see it's still writing here. So, I mean, we're getting into page 3. I can't even keep up. Augie, of course, does get hit by a horse and dies at the end. So I'm going to wreck the story for all of you. But
did you say a car or a horse?
You said a horse, right?
You said a village.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I appreciate the creativity.
So are there going to be copyright issues?
You know, the interesting thing, I mean, I think so.
Because it's going out and like
it's
searching the web.
So what's happening, different tools. So if you use ChatGPT, if you ask it the same question twice, it'll give you a similar answer. But if you use a service like Jasper, you will never find the same answer more than once. And so one thing, and this is where I think it'll be disruptive in the marketing space. I think it's going to allow freelancers and people that are very new to marketing to use a tool like this and check boxes, but that means that a lot of dentists are going to start to see lower quality work because you can write a website in about 5 minutes if you wanted to, and at first glance it will look okay, but the quality is not going to be there. So it's going to mean that we have to start using other tools to look at content and see, was this written by AI, was it not? Ultimately, the best application for this is going to be a starting point. I've seen over and over again with dentists, it's hard to start with a blank page, but if you give them something to edit, you can go a long way. So I think that this AI writing software is going to be great for marketers and for dentists and content creators as a point of research and as a starting point to edit and for writing children's stories.
Unless Augie dies, and that's terrible. How many people actually read an entire website versus just clicking and looking at pictures?
Very few. Yeah, I mean, the average person spends about 2 minutes and 10 seconds on a dental website, to give you an idea. And so for me, that's skimming titles. Titles are super important if you want to have your, you want to have enough content that Google is able to evaluate you and say, hey, this is a really good resource, but you want to break it up with lots of titles and subtitles, and people will skim to the parts that they find the most relevant. And that's why, for me, having video content is so critical. Get someone to a place where they're like, I want to learn about mini implants. And then, yeah, you want to, I'll take it back.
We don't want to, yeah.
And why they're not a good idea. Hey. There you go. You just didn't let me finish.
Interrupting everyone, huh?
Yeah. So basically, AI is coming for all our jobs.
Oh,
I think there's AI that can diagnose decay on bite wings now.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that at the PNDC meeting.
Yeah, and a little nervous about insurance companies looking at that and saying, like, maybe disagreeing with their diagnosis.
Well, they already disagree.
Well, that's true. I don't know. Can they disagree more? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it also could help if you have younger docs and trying to calibrate everyone, like Mark was talking about earlier today, getting everyone on the calibration. And I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a useful tool. We'll see.
Small shift of gears. Are you guys having trouble finding like employees, like qualified? Is that eased some, or
It seems like it seems like the market has become more favorable for employers again towards the end of the year. We're very lucky. We've always had a robust pick of candidates, and we're super super happy about that. But it definitely was a rough start to the year in terms of making a lot of financial concessions to keep people and make them happy, and I think it's all worth it, truthfully. But we're happy to have a little more favorability back on our side.
The beginning of the year started out, and I think the biggest thing, it wasn't even getting candidates, it was keeping the ones we had, because people were coming forward, and we've always set expectations on our team. We're like, hey, listen, if you do well, if you're progressing in a role, you might see a 3-7% increase, and if you get a promotion, it might be a 7-15%. And we'd have people in the first year come to us and say, I want a 15% raise or 25% raise. Jeez. And you know, it's hard to keep up with that and not have your prices just astronomically balloon. And so I think we've seen that shift. And we just posted a job, and we have like 80 applicants in the first
24 hours,
so we had to turn it off. So I think the hiring market has changed dramatically in our space. And I think there was a moment where everybody was just shifting jobs and headhunters were getting people to swap. And I think a lot of those people got burned because people were promising them the world, and they found out that job that they hopped over to for $6,000 more was awful. And so we've definitely seen the market shift.
Yeah, I brought that up this morning because this morning I was reading an article about how, 16,000 Google employees got let go today.
Yeah.
Oof,
you know,
I didn't see that.
10,000 Microsoft are getting let go.
Yep. Google trimmed their entire employment force by 6% today.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So like hundreds of thousands of people, but like, 6%, 16,000 people lost their job today. So like those, fairly probably skilled, employees are now out in that, and then you take Microsoft and stuff. So I was like, I wondered if maybe there was some, I would presume maybe some of those real large, like Wall Street type marketing agencies are probably doing the same thing, trimming their budgets and trimming their deals.
I definitely have seen the influx on LinkedIn of my connections in search of new roles in the last couple of weeks. But I think, and we were talking about this morning, those tech companies are planning their budgets and locking their budgets years in advance.
Right.
And so they're planning for things and shareholder accountability and shareholder goals they need to make and their own goals they need to make well ahead of time, which is, a kind of a different ballgame than what we're playing in.
They're private equity backed, which is the key thing. So I think private equity money is drying up right now, especially in those areas. And you got to keep in mind, they're not financing, they're not cash flowing their businesses. They're ultimately raising capital. And so I think as that capital dries up, they are not able to pursue the projects that they've been working on. So I think it's just a different business model than sort of something like what we do, which is a cash flowed business. And so that's the big distinction.
But
so
it should be good for us. Yeah, it's definitely interesting to watch.
I think the dental space is like more favorable right now too, as far as like, you know that. I think that it's more favorable to find a hygienist today, and dental assistants. And I think there's a lot of hygienists that maybe went out there and tried to oversell themselves a little bit, and now are like, God. I think Irene had a deal this morning to talk about, like, you know, 65% of the people would like
pick a new boss over
pick a new boss, you know, over a raise, and like
shocking.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what has happened over the last year and a half is just that, you know, you talk about the headhunters and like, hey, you know, I read an article recently in the journal, Wall Street Journal, about like how, like, from Facebook to Google to Twitter, like those big four, like they just move back and forth and back and forth, you know, looking for another $6,000 here, another $5,000 here.
Yeah.
And it's just unsustainable.
Yeah. I mean, it is unsustainable both for businesses and, you know, I do think at a certain point, you make enough money that you're covering your bills, you're saving, you're living the lifestyle you want, and then you start to be able to choose how you spend your time. And, you know, everyone always says, oh, work, you know, it's eight hours of our day, and, you know, you want to like what you do. And the reality is you do want to work with people you like and have a good culture. And there is a point at which you'll say, I'll take a little less money. And so we have seen that normalize, and I think the narrative is shifting on our – For our team members, I think everybody's reading the same articles and the same headlines, and no one knows what's going to happen. But, you know, certainly you don't want to be the most expensive new hire on a team. That's not a position I'd want to be in.
Yeah, Chris's office has, like, that incredible culture. You know, like, her hygienist, her two lead hygienists, like, they're, you know, their whole team's amazing. But, like, they could go make more money somewhere else. Zero chance they'd ever want to go do that. You know, because they see their friends that went and did that, and they're just like, oh my God, now I work for this micromanaging like pile of crap, you know, and like, you know, what good was $6 more an hour when you hate your job?
Yeah. I was just talking to a woman over there who said she's got six people on her team, and five of them have been with her since before 2004. And then she said, oh wait, the most recent ad was, 2012. I was like, dang. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's some longevity.
Culture is everything.
But it speaks to her, right?
Yeah. Oh, and you could tell upon meeting her. She's just, she's very distinguished, lovely lady.
So symposium's coming up. I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. Well, you both witnessed it last year.
It's the peak of my year.
It was the peak of, I actually wasn't there.
I still talk about it.
Michael called me with the last percentage point on his battery to tell me he had the best time he's had in years.
That was awesome.
Watching John.
Oh, it was the symposium you were at, not here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
1.8 seconds.
Oh.
Murphy, all you had to do was hang on. All you had to do was hang on. You let go.
You don't need your shoulder that bad.
You didn't black out. The picture shows you clearly in state of mind as you're going over the horns.
With my eyes closed.
I mean, having watched, and we're late to the Yellowstone game, but having watched Yellowstone now since then, and I haven't watched it all the way through, so no spoilers yet. But, like, holy shit. What's that guy's name, the skinny guy? That does all the bull riding.
That goes to the Triple Six Ranch.
The guy who I can't remember his name.
Oh, I can't remember his name either.
But you know who I'm talking about.
I remember Teeter.
Yeah. He's amazing. But like, to think John did that. No. To think that John did that is actually like
Jimmy.
Jimmy, thank you.
I was just going to hit the Google.
You're just going to ask ChatGPT.
Great story about Jimmy and Teeter.
To watch a video of John doing that, and then to watch Yellowstone and watch Jimmy do that on the show, I'm like, that's commendable. That takes some guts that John did that, honestly. Agreed.
And he had to do it sober.
Yes. Did they make you sign an agreement that you're sober?
I believe so.
You have to be, right?
What's that?
Well, then after the second
the bull riding.
Yeah, he couldn't drink until it was over.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
It was rough.
Same with the car driving. They're not gonna let us drive. So. We went to Radford Racing yesterday to, like, we shot a little promo and, like, for me to see what they were doing. And they have 100 Dodge Hellcats.
That's cool.
100.
That's a lot.
Oh, my God. Like, there were these 700 and some horse. Like, they're crazy.
Austin and Randy went for some hot laps that were quite interesting. And, can Murphy go a quarter mile in 1.8 seconds?
I'd love to be there to find out.
You will be there to find out.
Yeah, I will be there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to miss that.
You know, we cannot reveal in the podcast because he edits this shit. But,
there's some surprises for him.
There's some surprises for 1.8 seconds.
Now, has he tattooed that yet? I feel like that's got to be a tattoo somewhere, right?
Murph.
We'll drug him first. I think we could put him in that sedation course again.
What's it going to cost for us to get 1.8 seconds tattooed on your arm?
Just really small.
That'll be great for your dating life.
You can do it like a teardrop. 1.8. Yeah, 1.8. That'll impress all the girls.
Definitely.
1.8 seconds.
I think that's top of the first fingernail.
There you go. Yeah, that's
What about it? What more classy? Let him do the lip tattoo. That way, you just
inside
pull it down. Yeah,
1.8 like
on the lip. I think that's good.
I like that.
We
could tattoo it on a crown.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I can sneak that in. No problem.
Yeah, you can do that. For sure. For sure.
He's looking for a spot now.
Who are the speakers that you're most excited about? What
is it?
I was drunk in Lincoln, Nebraska and got this crown.
What is it?
It's a shitty
crown.
It's a crown?
My God.
But not a double crown. Don't be confused.
Did you tattoo that yourself?
You had a friend tattoo a, king's crown on your arm?
Let us see that again.
Hey, yeah, you going to put this photo in the show notes? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So
the look of bewilderment on Moody's face right now is just unbelievable.
1.8. right on the bicep. So when you can, when you flex like this, it might even get a little bit bigger.
The top of the 8.
Yeah. That's right. Did you just say that?
Yes, he did.
What else can he do for 1.8 seconds?
I'm not going to answer that question. It's dangerous.
Next topic. You'll both be here at Symposium?
I don't know. I think Michael and Forrest are scoped to go, but maybe I could.
You can make the official industry announcement for your excuse.
You have babysitters here in town.
No, but this is true. I do.
There's another reason.
There's a baby that's.
If I'm not coming,
a baby can't be sat.
If I'm coming, I can't drink because I'm pregnant again.
It's
basically every year for the last 3 years. So
she told me it's the last one. So.
Michael's like the onesies. Yeah. Michael said he'd have as many kids as I would have, and I said I'm done. And then as soon as I'm done doing the work, he's going to do the work.
That's right.
Snip.
I'm waiting for March Madness.
He's going to do it during March Madness.
Oh, so you can just sit on the couch?
Yeah,
absolutely. Perfect. It's perfect timing, right?
It is.
I've heard you have to heal for 2 or 3 weeks. Is that correct? For anyone that knows?
It's almost a month.
It's almost a month.
Until a certain Monday night.
That's right.
Yeah. Good.
Championship night.
That's right.
Oh, boy. All right.
Do you have a time frame on this one?
June 30th.
There's usually a time frame. It's pretty consistent.
I see that.
It's about 9 months, typically, from what I've understood.
My mom figured out all my...
So late September, October, so like...
You want to know how my mom figured out my sister's pregnancy dates or due dates? No. By dairy cattle gestation periods.
Oh, my gosh. I watched this great documentary.
Pretty accurate.
And it was about a dairy farmer, and he... I'll skip most of it. Basically, he got divorced from his wife because he tracked her menstruation cycle on his dairy calendar. So he'd go out to the barn, and there's just kind of the circle that you move around. So he had her on the same thing that the cows are on. She apparently didn't like it and divorced him. It seems like it was effective. This is before
apps.
Was
this the Huska family?
Yeah, it might have been. I can't remember who it was.
That must have been Aunt Ethel.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Man, there's table service here.
There's just never a shortage of classy things to talk about with you guys.
That's right. I feel like we've learned a lot today, honestly. I feel like should be a CE course.
Well, I want to know who the key speakers that you're excited to see are at Symposium, so I can evaluate whether or not I'm coming, so I can DD you all.
It's a good lineup. We have Wong and Curry coming back, which is always
good. Curry's great.
Yeah, those guys are they're a lot of fun. Got some new ones from your neck of the woods. Sharafi, the oral surgeon in San Diego, is coming out to talk about All on X.
That's great.
Barry Matthews from Montana's come down doing a little digital stuff.
Tim Anderson.
Yeah,
he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back. Talk about a little
Magoo.
3D. Yeah, Brian Magoo's going to talk about sedation.
Okay. Adam Kimowitz.
Yeah. I think Adam Kimowitz will be interesting. Implant dentist out of Jersey. His brother was murdered 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So his brother owned the comedy shop in downtown in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his brother owned it, and they had a live-in nanny, and the nanny's boyfriend and her broke up, and then the nanny's boyfriend, who was this illegal immigrant from Hungary or somewhere in Eastern Europe, and broke into the house and stabbed him to death.
Wow.
And started stabbing her, and she got out as far as the street, and he finished her off in the street.
That is wild.
Yeah, and then he went straight to the airport to try to get out of the country, and they caught him. He's going to talk a little bit about, like, one day you wake up and like something like this happens.
Yeah.
You know, I told him, I said, you can't make it like so heavy that like it crushes the day. But yet, his brother owned a comedy shop. Like, they actually are quite funny.
Yeah.
So I think that he'll be able to do it. So it'll be interesting. It'll be the first time like he's really kind of gone to a meeting or spoke or anything since it all went down. So,
Laura, if you don't come for that, I don't know.
Yeah. It'd be fun. That won't be fun talk, but it's like
it'll be worth something. I mean, it's all worth something, but that's that's a sidetrack that you don't really get from a lot of these meetings.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
correct.
Mental health.
Yeah. It's a little mental health thing, you know. Like we've heard, Josh Austin, Detola and Josh talk about it.
Last year, that was amazing. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. But I think like murder takes like
that's the next level.
It is
a little next level. You know,
that's
like
catastrophic. Yeah.
Right, like, and you don't really know, you got an aunt that happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's crazy. Like, until I met her, like, I didn't, actually, I guess I knew Kimowitz before I knew, like, until...
I just remember his $80 bottle of ramen noodles that you used to spout about.
Oh, Momofuku, and the ramen noodles with the truffles grated over it, like $120 for the bowl of ramen noodles. Once you ate it, you would pay twice as much.
Huh.
Don't tell Alan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I've told him about it. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's in the
Cosmo in Vegas.
Huh.
It is the closest one.
Can we talk about this? There was a serious part of the segment here, so I didn't want to interrupt, but Randy's sitting over there. He gets his vodka soda and promptly pulls out a little Mio and squirts in like... Do you do this at restaurants?
No, I just
like
he's carrying it with him. Obviously, he does.
If you're at Momofuku, would you like order a vodka soda and then pull out your Mio and just like tap it off?
Do you have any other? Do you have any other flavor? Do you have any other flavors? Or
keeps
is this
getting weirder here?
I just got all sorts of shit.
Just
in here.
Taking shots with Tums.
Are
and Prilosec?
You selecting what flavor to pull out right now?
No,
what's going
I got
on?
A pharmacy in here. I got some dexamethasone.
I love. He's so for everyone listening. He's pulling this out of a Harley bag that has definitely seen some road time.
Some Aleve. Some lisinopril.
Getting old is not for the faint of heart.
Afrin.
Jesus.
A bigger bottle of Aleve.
So this morning I took a sales call with
I'll drink it straight then.
I took a sales call. We work with dentists, and so the majority of what we do is marketing for dentists, but once in a while we go outside of our lane, and we've got a great client in Ohio. That's an allergist, and he referred one of his friends who is a doctor, and it's a wellness clinic, but the primary thing that they're doing is ketamine. And so it's kind of a new thing for me to learn about.
That's a big thing. Are going that route.
So I'm going to
Wait, tell me about what do we know? What do we know collectively as a group?
Let me go to ChatGPT, and I'll tell you everything I know really quick.
Yeah, so, the lifeguard anesthesiology that's here in town, they do all our sedation at the clinic.
Okay.
And they just opened some ketamine clinics.
Okay.
What is it though?
It's used a lot for PTSD or like pain management,
depression.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
it's a Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know much about it. I just know a few people that are getting into it a little bit.
So you're just like micro-dosing this under the supervision of a doctor in a clinic? Correct. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah. It is kind of fascinating.
They're very popular.
Isn't that what... Who's with Josh Austin?
Lance?
No.
In the podcast
world. Yeah, Dottola talked about that.
Well, but Dottola does the microdosing of the psilocybin. Yeah, psilocybin, the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, shroomies.
Fascinating.
All right, so for those that want to know, ketamine treatment refers to the use of drug ketamine as a treatment for various mental health conditions such as depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Is this from your chat thing?
This is ChatGPT. It's helping us out here. See how much better this podcast would be if we had this all the time? Is typically administered as an intravenous infusion of intrasaline spray and has been found to have rapid acting and long-lasting effects on some individuals. I'll stop there. But, I mean, hey, you know, it's question answer.
How many treatments do you think you need?
Oh, I'll go back and ask.
Well, you know, without the ChatGPT or whatever, like
we did okay.
Well, we just made the shit up, and nobody else would have known.
That's fair.
I feel like you haven't had enough Fireball that you could say intravenous.
Yeah, I realized I was getting out of my depth pretty quickly there. I was getting nervous.
That's why he shut her down. He's like, "No, we're not asking that no more."
The next words are getting pretty complicated here. Yeah, jeez. This is such an unforgiving podcast. You know?
I've done some of my best podcast work here.
Yeah. It'll get edited. Don't you worry about that.
Always is.
Hey, when are the meat curtains going to close on this podcast?
Oh, and you said it, not me.
With that being said, this is the end of part one. We'll pick up part two tomorrow.
Pass the Mio.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you both for being on. Of course,
it's a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Yeah. From the Hilton in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Voices 2023. Thank you for listening, and tune into the next episode. Cheers.
Cheers.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.